in letters of crimson, God wrote his love on a hillside so long, long ago. For you and for me, Jesus died, and love's greatest story was told. I love you, I love you. That's what Calvary said. I love you, I love you. I love you, written in red. Down through the ages, God wrote his love with the same hands that suffered and bled, giving all that he had to give. God's plan of salvation is spread. I love you, I love you. That's what Calvary said. I love you, I love you. I love you. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I love you, I love you. That's what Calvary said. I love. I love you, written in red.
Amen. Amen. This time we're going to dismiss our young people back to junior church. 5 years old through 11 years old could be dismissed back there. And we are glad that you're here this morning. We trust the service will be a blessing to you. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, and let's look at verse number 5. As we look throughout the scriptures, we can find many good and many biblical examples of motherhood. From Eve to Hannah to Noah's wife. I mean, there's been a lot of good examples. In many ways, Sarah was a good example. We find in the New Testament there were good examples. Of course, Elizabeth was a good example in the New Testament of motherhood. Mary was a great example of motherhood. But in 2 Timothy chapter number 5, or 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 5, I want you to notice a grandma that's mentioned. You know, it's one thing to be a mother, it's another thing to be a grandmother. And my wife and I have had the privilege of having now 13 grandchildren been born into the family, and I'm so thankful for that. You know, grandkids are so much fun. If I would have known they were so much fun, I would have tried to have them first. Amen. You can spoil them rotten and just send them home. And but you know, there's something about being a grandparent that's just so much more enjoyable than being a parent. But I want you to notice what it says in verse number 5. It says, "When I called to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." The Apostle Paul said, "Timothy, you've got unfeigned faith, faith without hypocrisy, and it is all because of a grandmother." A grandmother that said, "I'm going to go ahead and instill my faith in my grandson." And this morning, I would like to have you consider this morning the timeless influence, of a godly mother and grandmother. Like I said, a lot could be said about mothers and grandmothers. Although little is said about Lois, it is revealed that she made an impact on her grandson. And not just her grandson, but upon her daughter. Not all mothers leave an honorable legacy behind them. Some leave only shame in our society today. But I believe as we look at Mother's Day today and we consider what the Word of God has to say, let's look at some examples of a godly Christian mother and grandmother. And I hope and pray, if you know the Lord is your Savior today, that you will say, "By the grace of God, I want to be that type of mother and I want to be that type of grandmother." You say, "Well, preacher, I'm a guy." All right, then you can be the biblical example that God wants you to be as a man. Amen? The principle is all the same. But I want you to notice where this story actually begins. Go back to the book of Acts chapter number 16, if you would. Acts chapter number 16, and I want you to find what the scripture has to say about Eunice and about Lois. In Acts chapter number 16, I want you to notice what it says in verse number 1. It says, "Then came he to Derbe and to Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium." We find that the Apostle Paul had the opportunity. The Apostle Paul actually referred to Timothy as his own son in the faith. He mentored him. He helped Timothy along the way spiritually. Whether he had the opportunity to personally, firsthand, one-on-one lead Timothy to Christ, you know, it may appear that way. We really don't know for sure. But one of the things we know for sure is the groundwork for Timothy's salvation was laid by his grandmother and by his mother. Let me say this to you this morning. The reason why I'm saved today, number one, is because of the Lord Jesus Christ died for me on the cross of Calvary. And we all understand that. But in my personal life, there was some groundwork that was laid. It was my mother and my grandmother that laid the groundwork for me to hear the gospel and receive it as my Savior. I remember my mom reading the Bible to me and reading Bible stories to me before my brother and I went to bed.
And I remember that old yellow Bible story book that had all the major stories in it. And it left an impact on my life. I remember her praying for us. I remember my mother praying and asking, and she would call off all the names of her children, including me, and asking that God would save our souls and use us. I was young. I was 3 or 4 years old. And I remember my mom praying with me. It left an impact. Matter of fact, as I got older and as the teen years came along, and you know, and as a teenager, you think you know everything, and you really don't know anything. And you know, as I was growing, and I really thought, you know, I had the world by the tail. Listen, I didn't know anything about the world. And after the world started beating me up a little bit, and sin started taking place in my life, you know what kept ringing in my ears? It was the prayers of my mother. And I remember one night as a 16-year-old boy sitting in jail because I was out running late at night and got 12 points against my license all in one night. Boy, that was a mess. By the way, parents, know where your children are at and know what they're doing. Amen? And I was in a car that was going a little bit too fast and decided I'd just go ahead and run from the cops. Didn't work out. They caught me. And I remember as I was sitting in the Fostoria jail, they called my parents. It was about 1:30 or almost 2 o'clock in the morning, and the phone rings. And I remember hearing my dad on the other side of the phone, "Let him sit there all night." My mom came and rescued me. And you know, I knew that I was going to have to stand before the judge, and that was a frightful thing. But more so, I was going to have to stand before my mom and my dad. Because I knew that my mom had prayed for me, and it was going to be a great, great disappointment for the way I was living. Thank God for mothers and grandmothers that leave a legacy behind for good. Now, regardless of where you're at this morning, spiritually speaking, I know that you're all here this morning, amen? At least you need to be here this morning. If you're not here, check in, all right? But regardless of where you're at and regardless of what has happened in the past, I'm glad that God can offer you a new beginning today. And maybe that your legacy hasn't been so honorable. Then go ahead and choose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ today. Honor God with your life, and He can make you a new creature. Amen? But I want you to notice Acts chapter number 16. I want to share with you just real briefly four things about the influence of a godly woman. Number one, we find here in Acts chapter number 16, there was a young man by the name of Timotheus. He was living for God. But there's a reason why he was living for God. And I want you to notice that first of all, it says that his mother was a Jewess. She was Jewish. But she believed. She came to the understanding that the Messiah had come and the Messiah was Jesus Christ. But then there was a startling revelation that's revealed in the bottom of verse number 1. It says, but his father was a Greek. According to the Jewish law, the Jewish people were not supposed to marry outside of their religion. And so she married a Greek. I wonder if she was a Jewish person, that meant her mother was a Jewish person. That meant Grandma Lois was Jewish. And there was probably a lot of heartache that happened when all of a sudden her daughter wanted to marry someone outside of the Jewish faith. That tells me something about Timothy and about his mom and about his grandmother. The influence of a godly Christian woman, she stood during times of heartache. Listen, mom or dad, grandma or grandpa, listen, if you're a young lady this morning and you are single, you need to understand this. You need to learn to stand during times of heartache. Not all times of motherhood is filled with pleasantness and sweetness. There's going to be times of sickness and weariness and sorrow and abandonment. There's going to be times of heartache in your personal life. We see here, more than likely, that Timothy's mother, there is no mention of Timothy's father throughout the rest of the scripture. It very well may be that Eunice was single. And for those of you that are single moms, let me just say this to you. God's grace is sufficient for you. And God can help you get through the heartaches of life, even as a single parent. Amen? That should not be a cop-out to live a reckless life. It ought to be used as a means to draw close to God. She had heartache as a single parent. She had a heartache of seeing her daughter go astray, Acts chapter number 16, verse number 1. Timothy's mother married wrong, but then found Christ. Because it says in 2 Timothy 1:5 that dwelt in thy mother and in thy grandmother Lois. So that faith that Timothy embraced, his mother embraced, his grandmother embraced. There was heartache. I would encourage each and every one of you during times of heartache, and that will come. Somebody once said that either you're going into a storm or you're in a storm or you're heading out of a storm. And that's the way it is for our lives. There are storms in everybody's lives. How are you going to handle the storms of life? Are you going to stand during times of heartache? I hope and pray you will. Because they stood for what was right during times of heartache, it impacted Timothy's life, and he became the preacher that God wanted him to be because of a godly mother and a godly grandmother. She stood during times of heartache. Number two, I want you to notice this. She stood without hypocrisy. Look back at 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Look at verse number 5. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 5. When I called to remembrance the unfeigned faith. Now that word unfeigned, you know, we don't use that type of terminology a whole lot today. But the Bible is very clear on what type of faith that Timothy and Timothy's family had. It was unfeigned faith. The word unfeigned means without hypocrisy. You know, that word hypocrisy has a very interesting meaning to it. The word hypocrisy actually comes from a term that they used in Greece for being an actor in a play. And a person would be an actor in a play, and they would hold up a face in front of them, walk across the stage, and representing that particular person. And then when they get to the other side of the stage, they would lay that mask down and pick up another mask, and they would go across the stage telling the story from another person's viewpoint. And they would say, he is a good hypocrite. He is a good two-faced person. That's what the word hypocrite means. Someone who is two-faced. That's what the word unfeigned means. It means to be without a hypocrisy. In other words, we're not going to be two-faced. Timothy's mother and Timothy's grandmother, they were not two-faced. Timothy saw genuine Christianity in their lives. And listen, if you want to make an impact on your children's life, be real as a Christian. Be real. One of the greatest gifts that a mother or a grandmother can give to their children is a consistent godly life. Live for God. Live daily for God. Live consistently for God. Hope you're jotting down notes. I want to give you 6 ways real quickly that you can live without hypocrisy. Number one, mean what you say and say what you mean. Amen? When you tell your children, don't do this, and then you come back around and they're doing it and you say, didn't I tell you not to do that? You are teaching that child to be rebellious. And when you come to them the third time or the fourth time and you remind them that you told them not to do it, they're going to go ahead and try to do it the fifth time and the sixth time and the seventh time, because they're going to see how far that they can push you, and you're teaching them to be rebellious. You tell them what it is and you make sure they understand it. And if they break the law, then you go ahead and break their backside. Say, I don't believe in that. The Bible talks about it. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of the correction will drive it far from him. Say, preacher, are you advocating child abuse? Absolutely not. And spanking a child is not child abuse. I should have had it a lot more growing up. But ways I can keep hypocrisy out of my life. Say what you mean what you say. Number two, establish biblical priorities in your life. Your children are watching. You let those biblical priorities guide and direct you. You make sure that prayer and Bible study and obedience and going to church and giving and attitude and words, all of those things will align with what you say that you believe. Listen, if you say that you believe that going to church is important, then you ought to be in church more than Christmas and Easter. Amen? Matter of fact, you ought to be in church every time the doors are open. Amen? If church is important on Sunday night, it's important on Wednesday night, and it's important just on Sunday morning. Listen, it's all the same. Establish biblical priorities in your life. By the way, what parents do in moderation, children will do in excess. And if you serve God half-heartedly, I'll guarantee you your children won't serve God at all. Number three, do all the known will of God for his glory, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether I eat, drink, or whatsoever I do, do all to the glory of God. Make sure your children see that. Number four, make sure that you are long-suffering and forgiving. By the way, God forgave you. Amen. And if you hold a grudge against someone in your family or a Christian brother or sister or your child, your child's going to pick up on that and they're going to learn to be unforgiving also. The Apostle Paul told the church of Ephesus, he said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Listen, we need to make sure, if you're going to make sure that hypocrisy is not in your life, be long-suffering and forgiving. Number five, make sure you study the Bible. It's not just the preacher's job to memorize Scripture and study the Scripture. It's your job too as a Christian. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Bible doesn't change. Amen? Amen. The Bible does not change, and so therefore we ought to stand firm on the word of God. That's what Timothy's mother and grandmother did. Number six, you want to make sure you eliminate hypocrisy out of your life? Live like the Lord may come back today. By the way, the Lord may come back today. Amen. Are you ready to meet him? Well, there's two things that are requirements for meeting him. Number one, you got to be saved. Number two, you ought to be living right. Amen? If you're not saved, you're not ready to meet him. If you're not living right as a Christian, you're not ready to meet him. And the Lord Jesus Christ may come back today. The trumpet may sound and praise the Lord, we're out of here. But if you're lost without Jesus Christ, you will be left behind. Number two, she stood without hypocrisy. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 1, look at verse 5 again. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned, what's that next word, everybody? Faith. She not only stood without hypocrisy, she stood during times of heartache, but she stood by faith. Timothy saw the faith of his mother and his grandmother. And our children need to see faith in us. Whether it's a mother or a father or a grandparent, they need to see faith, trusting in God. The word faith means confidence or trust. She trusted in the Lord for salvation, Acts 16, verse number 1. In 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 5. But look what it says in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, look at verse number 15. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 15, (clears throat) and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. This is talking to Timothy. What did he know from a child? The Scriptures. What did the Scriptures do? Look at the rest of the verse. Which was able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Where did he learn that from? He learned it from his mother and he learned it from his grandmother. She stood by faith. She trusted in God's plan. Oh, yes, she had heartache. Her daughter went astray. She married outside of the religion that she was brought up with. But listen, the Bible says, and all things work together for them for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God had a plan. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 11, he does all things after the counsel of his own will. And we may make mistakes in our life and do those things that are not pleasing to God, but if we will turn back to God, he will restore unto us the years that the locusts have eaten, Joel said. Those wasted years, those years eaten up by sin, God can go ahead and restore those years. And listen, you may have messed up in your life and your early years might have been wasted. Listen, I didn't get saved until I was 20 years old. I was almost 21. And I had a lot of rough road underneath of me. But you know what? God's made it all up. And God can restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten if you will go ahead and turn back to God. She trusted in the Lord for salvation. She trusted in God's plan. Listen, grandmother's name was called Lois. That was the Greek name. The Hebrew name for Lois is Naomi. Does that sound familiar? It goes back to the book of Ruth. And Ruth was, in the book of Ruth, her mother-in-law by the name of Naomi was bitter because of the life circumstances. Naomi's sons died, her husband died, and she said, I am bitter with God. Call me no more Naomi, but call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. You know, one of the things about Lois, she went through a time of bitterness, but she didn't change her name. And you might go through some difficult times in your life, but you don't have to change your name from pleasantness to bitterness. She didn't change her name during hard times. Number four, I want you to notice this. Not only did she stand by faith, but she stood upon the Word of God. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy saw the example of biblical Christianity, and that from a child. This statement reveals a lifetime of consistency from a child. Grandma played a big role, in this young man's life. I remember Ann over at the old farmhouse. Grandma lived with us from 1965 when she had a stroke. I believe it was 1965 for pretty much the rest of her life. She had a little bedroom behind the bathroom. And she'd come out in the kitchen. There was an old rocking chair there beside the radiator. And she would sit there and rock in the rocking chair and she would whistle. There is not a single person in this world that I think could whistle as good as her. And she would whistle higher than a goldfinch, just real high-pitched whistle. And I remember walking through the house and hearing her whistle in the garden. I remember her quietly singing, How Great Thou Art. I remember her singing the old hymns of the faith as she was sitting there, and she'd sing a little bit, and she'd whistle a little bit. You know, that made an impact on my life. And over 50 years later, I still remember it. And when my heart and mind goes back there, it still moves me. Timothy saw an example of biblical Christianity, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. I remember my mother and my grandmother holding the Bible in their lap and reading it during the stillness of the day. It made an impact in my life. It reveals a lifetime of consistency. It tells me this, that you cannot teach your children to do right until they see you doing right. Your children will never follow the philosophy, do as I say, but not as I do. You want your children to live a godly life, then you live a godly life. You want them to pray, then you pray. You want them to read their Bible, then you read your Bible. You want them to be a consistent, godly witness to a lost world, then you make sure you do the same. Timothy saw the biblical example. Timothy was taught the Word of God. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. The Word prepared his soul for salvation. The Word prepared his life for service. I believe that all the times that I saw my mother and I saw my grandmother reading the Word of God, and I remember her praying and praying over me and praying over my brother, and I remember those things just as I was there yesterday. Made an impact on me. I remember going over to my uncle's house. He called Danny and Victor in, my cousins. He said, boys, it's time for prayer. And this is in the middle of the day. We always prayed before I went to bed. I wasn't used to this. I said, okay, well, we'll just go in there. And I remember we got down on our knees and we began to pray. And Aunt Juanita began to pray. And as Aunt Juanita prayed, Brother Gene, or Uncle Gene, he would just start praying out loud at the same time. And after about probably 45 minutes of being on the knees, then she got done praying, and then he started praying. And about an hour and a half later, my knees were sore. And I thought to myself, what are they doing? We've never prayed like this before. I'll tell you what, those two people knew how to get a hold of God. And here, 50 years later, I still remember that day when we went to Uncle Gene's and we prayed. The Word should prepare our hearts for salvation. It should prepare our life for service. If we are going to leave a godly influence to our children and grandchildren, remember these four things. Stand during times of heartache. Stand during times when the whole world is being hypocritical. You make sure you have unfeigned faith without hypocrisy. You make sure you stand by faith and you stand on the Word of God. May God help us to be the parents that we need to be. Boy, we all need help, don't we? The only way you can do this is by the grace of God. The only way this can happen, number one, you need to know the Lord as your Savior. Are you saved today? I hope and pray so. If not, you need to give your heart to Jesus Christ. You need to trust Him as your Savior. And number two, when you get saved, you need to choose to live for Him daily. Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Everything else will fall into place. Just put the Lord first. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed.